All right, Exodus 20th chapter. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to study the law, and then we're going to go into the tabernacle, and I'm excited about going into the tabernacle. We're going to get into some of the law first. I would like to say this. Until recently, the last 100 years, that's what I call recently, every doctor and every lawyer had to get a Ph.D. or a doctor of divinity before they could go into the study of medicine or law. How many of you knew that? Every one of them had to have a doctor of divinity before they had to study enough theology to have a doctor of divinity before they could become a lawyer, a judge, or a doctor. It's very necessary. Do you know why? Because all justice, every law system in the world, whether it's Muslim or whatever it is in the world, all comes, the basic ideas come from where we're in the book right now. All right? We're in the book right now. This is probably one of the most basic foundational studies in the world. One of the most basic foundational studies of law and equality and justice that there is found.
In the Federalist Papers, Hamilton writes that our laws are based upon the Word of God, and the only way that you can obey them is to understand who God is.
We have a three-section government, don't we? Mm-hmm. All right?
We have a president. We call him the Prez right there. We have the Senate. And we have the House of Representatives, all right? We're going to call them the Reps.
Let me tell you just some basic economic and the idea that our country was founded upon, okay? Our president is basically almost a monarch. Did you know that? Did you know that?
Well, he has some restrictions.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to get to that. But basically, he's a king. Okay? He's a king with a limitation. All right? When he sets in effect what we call executive orders, basically, he don't answer to anybody. You know that? That's real dangerous. All right? And we've been living on executive orders for quite a while. All right? President is basically the king. Now, this is the way our country was set up. Now, everything, we're going to go back and we're going to look at this book. We have the Senate. What does Senate mean? What does Senate mean? It comes from an old word which means senior. All right? They're seniors. They're what they call advisors. Okay? Advisors. Okay, these people, this is what you call a technocracy, technocrats. They decide, since they are smarter than anybody else, they decide what's the best for you. Whether you know what's the best for you or not. They just look like they're better, you know, they're smarter than you are. They know more about the system you do. So this is what we call a technocracy. All right, we're going to call them techs. And then how about the representatives? This is what's supposed to balance out. The representatives are supposed to tell the government what you want as a people. And all this is supposed to work together to get your will across to the country. Okay? The best voice you have in legislature is through the representatives. Because they're supposed to listen to you and they're supposed to communicate your wishes to the senators and the king. All right? How many of you knew this basic thing? All right? This is pretty basic, okay? Well, there it is. Now, let's look and see, since we have almost every government, if you go all the way back to Noah's day under human government, you'll find out all the way back here, even though they did not have a written law, do you know what laws they were, God was communicating to man? Exactly what we're going to be reading here. This is probably one of the most important studies in God's Word in as far as justice goes and law. About 14 years ago, I went down to the courthouse, and I expected, when I walked into the courthouse, I expected to be walking on holy ground. I really did. I had never been there before. All right? I had never been there before, and when I sat in there and I went to the courtroom and through trials and everything like that, I saw people just up lying through their teeth. And I said, man, these people ought to be in jail. You can't do this in the court of law. Perjury. We're going to see what the penalty for all of this is. If we exacted what God said in His Word, we would have a whole lot less problems, especially with these leeching lawyers. You know, lawyers don't produce anything. They live off of society like a parasite. All right? They're parasites. But now let's look and see if they were theologians first, like it was in America. They had to have a doctor of divinity before they could ever even study law or medicine. Doctors today used to be servants of the people, didn't they? Now they're big business. Lawyers were supposed to be to facilitate justice. Now it's big business. All right? Total different. Now let's go back and see the rules that they were supposed to go by. All right? Just think about it now. If you could go down and hire a lawyer, they wouldn't lie. And could go in there and get you justice, how safe would you feel? How safe would you feel?
Well, if he didn't lie, I don't want to feel safe.
Well, it'd only be justice then, wouldn't it? Wouldn't lie for you, and the other ones wouldn't lie for the other side.
There you got a point.
I mean, everybody was held on the up and up. And if they lied, they'd get the old Indian test. You know what? The Indians, what we used to do to people if they had a court and everything else, and we thought a man was lying. You know what they did to him? They took a hot knife and put it on the fire and got it real hot and say, "Stick your tongue out." If you're lying, your mouth's going to be dry and that knife's going to stick to your tongue. But if you're honest and you're not lying, you're not going to be sweating it so that it'll just go and go away. If that knife stuck to his tongue, that boy was you just moved it from his mouth to his throat. If it stuck. Then you took care of it and we had justice. You think we ought to do that up there in Washington, D.C.? Down here 14, 15 trucks an avenue? It'd probably work. All right. All of that previews the coming attractions. I think we finished with verse number 18 last week, didn't we? 20 in verse number 18. 21. 21 in verse 20 in verse 18. I'll get it right here in a minute.
We stopped on 17.
All right, we stopped on 17 last week. Now, God has got an audience. All right, now, here comes the law. Here comes the law, and the people of God are all around the bottom of the mountain, and they're hearing great voices. Now, last week, we talked about the trumpets. Trumpets are very important, aren't they? Trumpets are very important. Now, they said here that they heard the voice of God like thousands of trumpets. And what were trumpets made out of, Brother Bill?
Ram's
horns. All right. They weren't golden trumpets. They weren't like you see at the Mormon.
Pre-brass age.
Yeah, the pre-brass age, all right. They were blowing these ram's horns, okay, blowing these. And they heard these loud noises from off of the mountain now. Now, God is telling all these basic rules here. We get down here in verse number 18. And Brother Wally, verse number 18.
And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, They moved and stood afar off.
All right. The word move there in Hebrew is they were trembling, shaking in their boots, trembling all over. Have you ever been scared? How many of you ever been up in heights? Or how many of you a little bit afraid of heights and never been up in a high building and your feet start shaking? All right, yeah. Start trembling all over. That's exactly what it's talking about. How many of you be afraid of spiders and see a big old spider out there walking along and you start trembling all over? All right. How about a rattlesnake? I remember one time up there in the mountains, I was cutting firewood. I used to cut firewood for a living all the time. I'd go to the seminary, teaching seminary pastor, and go cut firewood one day a week just to get away and do something physical. I had my nephew up there, and we were sitting down to have lunch. I had made a bunch of burritos, and we sat down underneath this oak tree that I hadn't cut down yet. And my nephew was coming down through there, and we sat down, and we were sitting down about from here to where Brother David is right there. Okay? We're sitting down underneath this tree, and right up above that was a cow patty, we thought. Didn't pay much attention to it. We just sat down there on these rocks underneath this tree. And my nephew comes trotting along down there. And he's coming down the side of the hill. And he jumps and he comes out there. And his foot is in the air like this, going to hit right on that cow patty. And he screamed real loud, "Ah!" like this. And I don't know how he did it, but he just kept on going. He didn't touch ground. And he kept on rolling down that mountain. That was a 6.5-foot timber rattler sitting right there. He was shaken for a long, long time. Trembling just like these people were. Fear and fright.
That poor rattler must have been.
Well, I took care of him. We dispatched him. Yeah, we did. Yeah, he was big. I didn't even get home with his skin either. Somebody else wanted it over there in Glenville. Fear. Trembling. All right? This is where you get real scared. All right? First time you ever get up in an airplane. All right? First time you get on a horse sometimes. Whatever. Trembling. They were afraid. And verse number 19, Brother Wally.
And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die."
All right. They said, "Moses, I want you to talk to us for God. We want you to talk to God. We don't want to talk to God." Because they realized they were sinners, and in the presence of God, they were mush. They were going to be dead. Okay? So they wanted a go-between. All right? Now, who was the go-between before this? Who was the go-between between God and Pharaoh? Moses. All right. Who was the spokesman over in Egypt? Aaron. But now, we got this guy that's tongue-tied. He stutters. That's what was wrong with Moses. He stuttered. And they want him to be the one to tell them what to do now. Moses, you're just fine. We want you to talk to God and we'll put up with your stuttering just long enough. We do not want to speak to him. We do not want to be in his presence because we're scared. All right? We're scared. Lest we die, is what it says. Number 20, Tony, are you over there? Can you talk this? Hernando, chapter 20 and verse 20 of Exodus. All right, now this is why God spoke, and this is why he rumbled and shook the mountain, is to get some respect. So many people treat God like he's a spare tire. You know, he's always there, people. Most people don't even want to have anything to do with God or God's people or his churches. until they're in trouble, and they'll run there and they'll say, now I need some food, I need prayers because I'm sick or whatever else. Then they are going to listen. But God wants every man to know that He is there and He is the giver of life and death. God, Moses told them, God is testing you in order that you might tremble and fear before Him because He is God. When you were down in Egypt, you served many gods, but this is the Creator God. All right? Down in Egypt, they had all kinds of gods, didn't they? They had the God of the sun. They had the God of the river. They had God of the flies. They had God of the lice. They had the God of the crops. But now this is the God of all of those things. Who makes the earth produce? God does. All right, He's going to give us some feasts to these people, and every one of these feasts tells something. The types in the Bible. What does the word types comes from the Greek word typos? All right. What do the types of the tabernacle and even of this law, what is it all about? What's it all about? To show us that we need a Savior. That's number one. To show us we need a Savior and that man is a basic criminal inherently. You know why you have to have laws? It's not for the honest people, it's for the criminals. How come you got a highway patrol? Have you ever been going around the road and wish there's a highway patrol right beside you? Huh? Why? Because you got some nut out there trying to run you over or whatever. You need law and order. Okay? Now, God is trying to tell them that you really need law and order, that I am the God of heaven. And verse number 21, Brother Mike.
So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the big cloud where God was.
All right. Where God became or God appeared to them. Now, God is omniscient, isn't He? And He's omnipresent. He's all over the place. When we come to church, it's a very special thing because there, in our services, God is in the midst of us. So many people think that where are two or three gathered together, I'll be in the middle of you. What it's talking about in church capacity. We can go out and do whatever we want to in the world, but if you want to get the presence of God, you go to church. There's where He is legally meeting with you, and that's His law, not ours. Brother Floyd.
He's here in this class, too.
That's right. Well, this is part of the church, isn't it? This is a facility of this church. All right. That's what it is. All right. The people stood off at a distance. And the thick cloud where God appeared or where He became known to them. Verse number 22, Brother Rex.
Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven.
All right. What is He saying here? Who knows what's the message right in this verse right here? What's the message here? What is the message in this verse? This is a very important verse. Circle this verse. Put an asterisk out beside it because this is a very important verse. What did God tell them right here?
They've seen everything for themselves.
What? Yeah, but what is He saying here? What is the message in this one? This is very important. This is... In the Old Testament right here, put an asterisk out beside this.
I talked with you from heaven.
All right. Okay, I talked with you from heaven, but what is the story?
Because Israel's the sons of God. He's marked it.
He said, this is my man. Hear him. I have spoken to you from heaven. Now, this is my valid representative right here. Who was the valid representative in Egypt? Who told Aaron what to do? Moses did by the direct commands of God. By Moses' direct commands to Aaron, Aaron performed the miracles and all the plagues in Egypt. All right? The Egyptians thought Aaron was the guy. But Moses was the mediator. Okay? Moses is the mediator. In Judaism, if you spoke a word against Moses, guess what? You spoke a word against God. If you blaspheme Moses, you blaspheme God. And what they're saying right here now is, Moses is my man. I am speaking to you through him. He is the one. Now you listen to him. Pay attention. Yes. That's right. Who was Moses? Was a type of what?
Of Jesus.
Moses was a type of Jesus. All of these things are for types, okay? Now, verse number 23.
He's quoting the Ten Commandments that God penned as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But now God is going to really tell them what those Ten Commandments mean. There's a whole lot more to it. He's going to delineate it. He's going to explain all of these commandments now. And verse number 23, what does he say there in verse number 23, Terry?
Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourself gods of silver or gods of gold.
All right. You shall not make any other gods beside me. What's the first thing Israel's going to do? Who's going to do it? Aaron the goldsmith. Aaron the goldsmith. Do you know that people from the tribe, the Levites, and what word do you have? What modern English or what modern Jewish name is from Aaron's? Do you remember?
Cohen.
Cohen, which means priest. Cohen is priest. Or Levine. Cohen or Levine. These are, many of them are goldsmiths. The first thing that Aaron did when he went up there, remember Aaron was the spokesman before, but what God is saying here, Aaron's no longer your spokesman. Moses is. Moses is the man. That's the last thing he tells them now. Moses is the man. You shall not make any other god beside me, not even that goldsmith Aaron. That's the first thing he said here. That's very important. That's another thing you can color in or whatever you want to do. Number 24. Here's another, Brother John.
An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you.
All right. Every place where I cause my name is what it literally says. I cause my name. What's the word name in Hebrew? Name. What's the word name in Hebrew? Monument? Name? What is it? What's the term? It's a name in the Old Testament, one of Noah's descendants. All right. Or actually... Huh? Adam's descendants is what I meant to say. What was his name? Shem. Shem. Shem means name or monument. Go back and look at this a little bit better now. In every place where I cause my monument or my name, the word monument and name also means altar. It can mean pillar. Pillar. The church is the pillar, monument, and ground of the truth today. This is where God has put His name today, is in His churches today. He said, I want you to respect where you come up. And then He said, I want the altar made of what? What is that, Brother Wally? What kind of altar? An earth. Earthen. Ground. Dirt. A dirt.
Yeah, no big fancy rock.
Okay, in the pagan churches, you have great big fancy altars that you walk up to. In God's temple, they didn't walk up to altars, and the altars were made out of the dirt. What did the altar represent? What did the altar represent? The altar there, when you walked into the tabernacle, what did the altar represent?
The humanity of Jesus.
The humanity of Jesus. He was made from the same kind of dirt that we are. Earth. He's related to his creation, and he's related to Adam, because God said he made Adam from the same elements that he made the earth, like dirt. All right. And the altar is a type of Jesus. All of these are types. Brother Bill.
Jim, I got to, if I can interject this real quick, there's a little bit of something. I got an interesting video the other day. Maybe some of you guys have gotten one like it. You know, God said he made us as he made the elements. That this email was handling that if carrots, which are good for your eyes, if you cut it, you notice it looks like the iris of your eyes. Grapes, which are the best thing for your heart, hangs in a group like your heart hangs. A tomato, which is the best thing, I think, for your kidneys, it's got four chambers like your kidneys. But the fruit of the vine that's best for each part of your body actually favors that part of your body. And they were showing pictures of it, and it was a very interesting email.
Yeah, how vegetables look like organs in your body. Yeah. I've seen that before, too. I studied that in Back to Eden and all that. That comes from a long time ago, Brother Bill. This is what we call holistic medicine 30 and 40 years ago. Brother John, Dr. John, did you ever hear about that? You probably have. All right. All right, let's go on. You shall have an altar of earth for me. All right. That altar represents Jesus Christ, which came from the woman. All right? The woman, the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. All right? Every place where I cause my name or my monument to be remembered, okay? I will come to you and I will bless you. What does God want to do in his churches? He want to use you? What's he want to do? Well, he wants to use us, all right, but he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. All right, number 25. Number 25, that's very... Dr. John, number 25.
And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it.
All right, you will not have an altar of cut stones. Why? Ephesians 2 and 8 says what? Ephesians 2 and 8. Who can quote Ephesians 2 and 8? Brother Wally, you got Ephesians 2 and 8?
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship.
We are his workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them.
That he has foreordained that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. If we get saved, it's because of what God did. So there's nothing we can do. Don't build an altar out of cut stones. You cannot chip them, you cannot cut them, you cannot face them. If it's a stone at all, and you can't walk up to it either. You can't walk up. You can't walk up. You're on level ground. Everybody is lost, just like everybody else. We're all lost. We're on level ground. We're all level. The law is a leveler of all mankind. All right? Do not...
I was in Korea, that's over 60 years ago. We had these altars of the things. Since then, they have changed to Christianity, but always a great thousand steps up
there. Thousand steps up there. Do you have to work to get there? In the Catholic Church, they go over there and they climb the steps, but they climb the steps with broken glass on the steps. And you climb them on your hands and your knees. And by the time you get there, your knees are bleeding and your hands are bleeding. Climbing up to the presence of God. You're climbing up? He says, "Don't. You can't climb up. You climb up and what are you going to do? You're going to profane the sacrifice. You are disgracing the Lord Jesus Christ." In the book of Hebrews, it says that if you go back into that system of teaching that you came out of, and you want to come back, what sacrifice, or if you even go back into that system of teaching, what kind of sacrifice are you going to take? What kind of a bull or a goat or a turtle dove, what kind are you going to give? Whatever it is, it's a disgrace, and it's profaning the name of God, because we have the ultimate sacrifice that was made already. All right. Salvation is of God only. Anything that you do to get to heaven, you will profane, you will blaspheme God. There is nothing standing before you and God. You are on level ground. Number 26. Number 26, Brother Floyd.
And you shall not go up by step to my offering, that your nakedness be not exposed on it.
All right, you're not going to go up. It's on level ground. You can't walk up. What he's talking about is there, when they lifted your foot, you could see their ankles or whatever back then. God doesn't see anything in your flesh that gets you to heaven. It's only in the person of Jesus Christ. When you are justified, when you are saved, you know what God sees? He sees His sacrifice. He doesn't see your sacrifices. Down in the Philippines, you know, they almost every year, they crucify themselves. They go up there and they crucify themselves and they think that they're going to get to heaven. They go out there and have somebody, a volunteer, and they'll put him on a crucifix. They'll stick nails through his hands and his feet and crucify him. That is blasphemy. You have profaned the one and only sacrifice of God. There is no other sacrifice. No other sacrifice. Number 21, chapter number 21. All right, Brother Wally, what do you got there on 21 and verse 1:1?
An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and the thing and thine oxen.
Wait a minute, brother. Chapter 21 and verse 1.
Verse 21?
No, chapter 21 and verse 1.
Oh, okay. I was reading the last. Now these things are the ordinance which thou hast set before them.
All right, right there. Now these are the ordinances. Now what does ordinances mean? What's that word ordinances?
Laws.
What? Laws. Edicts. Okay, what's an edict?
A rule.
A rule. These are my rules. If you're going to come to God, you're going to come to God on His rules, not your imagination. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that like to, they have a God of their imagination. What do you think we have in all these world religions out here? All these denominations and all of these religions, it's man's idea of what he wants his God to be. Some people have a pretty sadistic idea of God. You know, wanting to be, crawl up steps on broken glass and stones. That's what their God is going to require of them to get to heaven. And they have to do it over and over again. And they're not sure whether they're going to get there at all. I was talking to a family one time. And the man died. And I talked to his wife. And she said, I hope he's in a safe place. They're very religious people. She said to me, I hope that he's in a safe place. I hope. Brother Wally, when your son died, you knew where he went, don't you? You knew that. You have no. There was a peace in your heart. There's a grief. But there's a peace there. You know where they are. You know where they are. When somebody dies that is not in Christ, you also know where they are. There's no hope in that, is there?
You hate to think about it, though.
Yeah. You hate to even think about it because you know they're in the wrong place. Religious people, people that are religious, ought to know when they breathe their last breath that they're in the beatific vision, in reality, they're in the presence of God. They're in glory. In glory. Isn't that a great hope? A great hope. Number two, Elfrida.
Number two. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing.
All right. What in the world is he doing here? God is protecting his people from the greedy. That's exactly what's going on. What happens if a guy gets in trouble and loses everything he has, and he has to sell himself into slavery? What's it say? To the big landowner, what is he telling him? You only, if he sold himself to you, it's only for 6 years. You're not going to keep him. You're not going to continually make him a slave.
Contrary wise, he can't be irresponsible. He still has to pay him.
Yeah. But look, if you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve you for 6 years only. But on the seventh year, he shall go out free without payment. It's over with. The debt is over. And that wasn't all either. You know what's going to happen to the landowner? When you send him out, what happens? You've got to give him some money along with it. You've got to pay him. It's not over with. This is men being protected from men. Man, protection from man. All right? If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. Let's look at this now. Total fairness. Totally fair. A leveler. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. All right? Verse number 3.
If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself.
All right. Look at that. Now, that doesn't sound too good, does it? Huh. Now, who owned the woman? The master. So we're going to protect the master, too. All right, we're protecting everybody here on level ground, okay? Everybody's on level ground. What?
He can go. All
right, he can leave. Brother Bill? Brother Bill?
If she's cranky, Vlad Cooper, she's a good looking woman, stay for another 6 years.
I figured you might have something to say about this. Brother John Capel over there in Australia is going to be listening to this tape, I'm sure. He already thought you had to be single.
I was reading the paper the other day. You know, if you murder somebody, you're going to get 5 to 8 years. But you simply say, I do, and you're in it for life.
Number 5, Brother Bill, number 5. All right, we'll shut him up one way or another. Read that number 5, Brother Bill. All right. All right. Now, if he decides that he doesn't want to go out, and the master is fair to him. All right. The master is fair. And he loves his wife, and he loves his children. Then, number 6, what's going to happen to him there, Sister Andino?
Then his master shall bring him to the churches. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the door top. And his master shall pierce his ear with
an
awl, and he shall serve him forever.
All right. Let's look at this one thoroughly. All right. Then his master shall bring him to what? All right. What does it say there? Anybody else have another translation? To God? To the judges or to God? All right. He's going to bring him to the house of God. That's what he's talking about. To the house of God. Going to bring him to the house of God. Before the judges in the house of God, then he shall bring him to the door of the doorpost of the house of God. Okay? And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. He's going to pierce his ears. All right? And he shall serve him permanently. Brother? It didn't say.
It didn't say.
But he's got a scar there. Horse pierced my ear. I saw, you know, I've got my ears been cut all the way through there. Looks like I had pierced ears and tore it plumb out. A horse did that. I didn't do it. Didn't have pierced ears ever. All right. But anyway, he shall be ears for also. Now, this is a type, isn't it? Is this a type? When you are saved, Brother Wally, you're a great theologian, so you remember this. You quoted us Ephesians 2 and 8. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 again. Could you quote it to us again?
For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
That's very good. When we are saved, the first thing that we need to have is scriptural baptism. And we need to go to the door of God's house and have our ears pierced. Because from then on, we belong to our Master. Freely. All of these are types. Freely, we belong to the Master of the universe, the Adonai, Jehovah Elohim. All right? Number seven. Let's look at this one. Yes, sir.
If a man sells his daughter as a female slave, she is not to go free as the male slaves do.
God is a little rougher on women than he is on women. I mean, men on than, women than he is on men. All right, boy, this is where the Women Live movement got started, Brother Bill.
You know, I didn't look at it like that, Jim. I looked at it like God was protecting the women. He didn't want them out on their own like that. Now, that's the way I was taking this. Now, am I taking it wrong?
God protects women in many ways, but God protects women through men.
Yeah, that's...
Now, if this master was a just master, what would he do?
Build a wall around her.
Yeah, build a wall around her. Protect her. All right. Number eight. Let's look at number eight here, Terry.
If she does not please the master who has selected her for himself, he must let her be redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
He has no right to sell her to foreigners because he has broken faith with her.
All right. Now, if a man sells his daughter as a female slave, I'm going to tell you something. Back in those days, she was a female slave, but she was also a concubine. She was not only a slave, but she was sexually attracted and attached to this man because now she had become his wife. That's the way it is. You sell your daughter to somebody, this man is also going to take her to his wife, and she's going to have children by him and everything. And let's look and see what it says here. We don't think about this a whole lot today, but this is the way it was. And matter of fact, about two-thirds of the world still does this today. Do you know this? America is different, but the rest of the world is not. Okay? They are practicing these things for thousands of years, but there has to be justice in this. Do you know how many countries in the world look upon women as nothing but cattle and as possessions? In China, women, if they're going to have a girl baby, they will have that baby aborted. They're worth nothing. Worth nothing. They want a male heir. I think they're going to have to start importing men over there, women over there or something. You know, if they got all these boys, how are they going to procreate?
So, and what this is saying is, if she's ugly, and he
can't... No. He wouldn't have bought her if she's ugly, Bill. He wasn't the one to buy her in the first place. Okay? Get this ugly business out of your mind.
I'm just trying to get this straight in my head.
Okay.
Maybe you wanted a good cook.
All right. Now, he's bought this woman. He's bought this girl. All right? It says daughter there. It means a female. As a female slave. Not only is she a slave, but she's also a sexual partner. She's a wife. All right? She's one of this guy's wives. Now, for some reason, he doesn't like her. He's not satisfied with this woman. Because he bought her now. For some reason, he's wanting to divorce her.
She's ugly.
Well, she wasn't ugly, all right? Maybe she got ugly, okay? I don't know. Maybe she got that way. All right? Maybe she got ugly. Maybe she was a bad cook. Maybe she was hard to get along with. Maybe she got ugly, and she got hard to get along with, okay? If she is displeasing in his eyes of her master, who designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He's going to let her go back. He's going to let her be bought out. He does not have authority to sell her to a foreign people because of his unfairness to her. Now, this is his wife, God said. You can't sell her to some heathen. You can't sell her to some heathen. Somebody comes along, she's pretty, Bill. She's pretty. Okay, she's still pretty. Now, she may not be easy to get along with, cranky and grumbly and all this kind of stuff, I don't know. For some reason, he doesn't like her. But he still can't sell her to some other heathen to get rid of her.
Now, you got to sell her to his own people.
He's got to let her be redeemed right back. Number nine. Brother Nine, Brother Bill. Read that number nine there.
If he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of God.
All right. If he has bought her for his son's wife, okay, he's not going to turn her out. He's not going to deal unjustly with her. All right. Number ten, Brother Rex.
If he takes to himself another woman, will he not reduce her food, her clothing, or her conjugal rights?
All right. Here we go. This is leveling society. That's what it's doing. If he takes to himself another woman. Now, these guys had a lot of wives, okay? Had a lot of wives. Now, what does it say here? These are rules. He may not reduce her food. Not going to put her on a diet. Okay? Yeah, they have up to five usually. Yeah. But if they get another wife, they can't reduce her food. They can't put her on a diet. Okay? You can't put her on a diet. Now, Bill, if you decide to go out and get another wife, you can't put Joanne on a diet, okay? No diets. That's enough. You can't reduce her food or her clothes. All right? Or her what? Marital rights. This means you still have to go to bed with this woman. Because why? Because she can have children. And she needs to have children. Because those children is what's going to take care of her in her old age. This is old age security right here. You're going to see to it that she can have children. And you're not going to go along. You're not going to cut her off. You're not going to not visit her. She's on equal ground with this new wife. You're over there one day and you're over here one day because this woman has got equal rights because she needs to have children to protect her in her old age. Right there is where we're going to quit.
You know, if an ugly woman has an ugly
child, she wasn't ugly, Bill. What day of the week is this? I mean the month? 16th? She's not ugly, Bill. She'd have never got sold in the first place. She might have an ugly personality, but she's not ugly. All right. Thank you for your attention. We're going to pick up there next week. We're going to look at the Word of God. Did you see some things in there that you hadn't seen before? I hope. I hope you've seen some things in there. Brother David.
Yes, sir.